Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewees.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible.
Thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People Prophetic Power Ministries. We are so fired up about our guest tonight, but I have a question for you. Are you looking for a true connection with the Holy Spirit? You know, the glory of God isn't just a feeling or an event or just this like Old Testament experience. It's a supernatural tsunami of everything contained in the character of God. The word glory is literally translated as a heavy weight, you know, and it's also been called the manifested presence of God. But more than just a presence, it's power. It's the kind of power that resurrects and delivers and overcomes and really transforms you. It's greater and stronger than any other power in existence. It is amazing. Look, we even have people calling into us right now that are so fired up about this. But I'm telling you, you know, there are some of you out there that may feel like I did, that, wow, you know, the glory of God seems to be like so untouchable. Can I really have this presence, this friend? Can he be a part of my life? Yes, he can. He can manifest in your life. And, you know, all the things that the Father has for you, including his glory, belongs to you. And with us this evening to talk about her newest release, Glory Carriers, and how to host his presence in every day is Jennifer Avez. Hey, Jennifer, we are so fired up to have you back on the broadcast. Oh, my gosh. You know, we had you, I guess, what was it, like a year and a half ago, 2 years, with the Intercessor's Handbook, right? I think it
right,
was.
Right, right, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and now,
oh,
my gosh. I mean, the time has flown by so quick. First, you know what? I've got to introduce my husband. He's on the line, too. Hey, babe, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so fired up. We're talking about our best friend tonight, and I love it. The Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, I tell you, Jennifer, this book is a must-have. I'm just going to plug away with this as much as I can during the broadcast because people have got to get this. You got to head over to Jennifer Avez, that's EIVAZ.com. Or
oh, no,
go
it's
to Facebook.
EIV is in Victory, AZ. There we go.
Yes.
You said ZAZ, EIVAZ.
Right, right. I'm sorry about that. Oh, my gosh. I think I'm just so fired up about this. And then catch her on.
Names.
Yeah. And on Facebook, too. I mean, you guys got to head there. Get the book. Go to Amazon. Go to her site. You've got to get the book. Get it for everybody that you know. This is a powerful book. And, you know, let's just start with this. I mean, you have all these other books. What brought you to the point to say, you know what, I really need to write about the Holy Spirit being a glory carrier? Because I have to tell you, in this day and age, right now, we need the Holy Ghost.
More than ever. You know, it's
more than
it's
ever.
Like each book that I've written, it's coming out of a journey. And I just write the journeys, and the Lord just breathes on it, and it helps others, you know, in theirs. And, you know, I just really want people to be able to read into this area, so that they don't have to take as long in this journey as I had to, trying to discover how to have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, and working through that. And so that's what I really wanted to do, is to put, you know, pen to paper, you know, so to speak, and close some of those gaps, so it'll be easier for you, the reader, to step into a relationship that's going to yield the presence of God and the power of God that you've been looking for, but more importantly, a relationship that will transform you and change your world.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, this book is such an easy read. And when you read it, you can't help. I mean, I found myself saying throughout the whole book, oh, God, just Holy Ghost, possess me. I want more of you. I want that friendship. You know, like you talk about that friendship. And there's a lot of people out there, Jennifer, that, you know, I mean, they really don't have a lot of friends. You know, and they're looking at this Holy Spirit. How does this look like? How can I have this friendship, you know, with the Holy Spirit? So what does that really look like?
Well, the reason I even attempted to go that direction, like to discover a friendship with the Holy Spirit, is I was frustrated that I was not seeing the power of God manifest through my life the way I desired to see it manifest. And my heart was pure. My heart was really about seeing people free, because I read in the Bible and I've seen it with my own eyes where people get delivered from demonic spirits. They would get healed of diseases. You know, I just know that with God there's no limits, yet there was limits with me. And so I took note of people who, you know, I would say were a reputation, who were flowing in the manifest presence of God. That's his signs, his wonders, what you see, what you experience, resulting from the Holy Spirit. And I took note of those who consistently flowed in his presence in that way. And they all said the same thing. They said, they talked about their friend, the Holy Spirit. And so I recognized that you know, if I was going to see the power of God flow through my life the way I desired to, that I needed to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know how to do that. Who knows how to do that? You know, like you always
sure.
hear the end game, but like who tells you the process? Who gives you the how? And
exactly.
So I just begin to seek the Holy Spirit. I asked him. I said, I want to be your friend. I don't know how. Will you show me how? And I just kept after that for quite a while. And, you know, he responds to that. He responds to your request for friendship. But, you know, there's some things that go along with that. Alan, Francine, there's some things that go along with that. When you start engaging in friendship with the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not like an ordinary person. You know, he's a highly transformative agent in your life who doesn't allow you to hide or be superficial for one inch. And so, you know, it starts to really deal with you. And this is where the cost comes in. You know, a lot of times we think it's the cost of the work of the ministry, you know, the labor of the people. No, it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what the cost is. And you come out of that, though, with his supernatural on your natural. If you could actually work through the process of transformation that inevitably will happen if you engage this.
You know what I love, too, is that, I mean, you were just you. You know, you just asked. And so many in this day and age is, okay, well, give me the 1-2-3 formula of how to do it, and
right.
I'll do it, and that's it. But there's what you said is so key, is that there's a cost. There's a pursuing of this relationship. It's like, you know, you and your husband and Alan and I, you know, if I didn't pay attention to him, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. You know, I have
exactly.
to pursue him, you know, just have that, you know, that conversation. And, you know, it's just like that, isn't it?
It totally is. And you have ebbs and flows. And that it can get frustrating sometimes because I identify the Holy Spirit by heart connection. I identify his presence that way. I feel his presence on my person. I feel connection. And there are days where I don't feel that connection. And, you know, sometimes it's just one of those things. There's no reason behind it. But a lot of times there's something going on in me. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a dealing
sure.
on the other end of that, you know, where there's a relational issue. You know, we need to communicate. We need to work through something. There's an attitude in my heart that needs to be lifted out of me. And, you know, and that's relationship. But, again, the Holy Spirit, he's holy. We want relationship with the Holy Spirit. But we have to remember he is holy. And although we are legally, positionally righteous, you know, the reality is we're still working through that. So, you know, as our holy friend, you know, it just begins to – to, you know, when you have, let's say you have a friend who doesn't have that grade of hygiene, and, you know, like you want to be in their presence, but there's just something that just, you know, we got to deal with that if we're going to be real close. And so,
right.
you know, in our own heart, well, you know, there's some things that really have a scent to it that the Holy Spirit wants to freshen up. So,
there you go.
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and there was a time, I mean, you grew up in the Mormon, you know, religion. And, I mean, you weren't familiar with the Holy Spirit, the glory of God. I mean, so what exactly happened to you? Did you experience, like, I guess you had to experience the Holy Spirit. I mean, how
yeah.
did that occur? When did that happen?
Well, Mormons, they have the names, you know, they have the terminology, they just don't have the biblical experience. All right, so in other words, yeah, I knew of a Holy Spirit, but I didn't know the real Holy Spirit. And so what happened was, you know, just a lot of stuff going on in that season of my life, you know, it was really spiraling out of control, a lot of family issues. And, you know, my uncle invited us to his Pentecostal crazy church, you know, and he invited us. And listen, as a Mormon, you're not going to go to a church like that ever unless something's breaking down. And so when you're desperate, you'll check out things you wouldn't normally check out. And so my mother, myself, and my half-sister, we decided to go, and I was a freshman in college. And I kid you not, now this church was crazy. When I say crazy, they were crazy. And they were running around in the worship. I was like, Mormons don't do that. You don't move in church, you know. So completely opposite. And so they're running around, yelling, whatever. The sermon, I have no idea what that guy said. I just remember, you know, he started playing a song at the end, and that's when the presence of God came. And it's interesting, I actually knew it was the presence of God. I totally knew this is the presence of Jesus. And he spoke to me I don't know how to explain it real clearly. It's like a feeling with a thought attached to it. And I knew what he was saying. He was saying, I accept you as you are, which is important because Mormons never feel like they got it all together. And so I just accepted, you know, the invitation to give my life to Christ right there. Now here's what's interesting. This church actually had a framework that you need to not only give your life to Christ, but you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, like right there. And I love that mentality, to be honest with you. No, it's not about your salvation, but I think the mentality is something we should probably adopt. And here's why. She said, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I didn't know to say no. So I said, okay. And next thing you know, I am speaking in other tongues. Like there was no barrier at all. I just immediately started speaking in other tongues like it was nothing. And that was my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm telling you this, you have to understand there's all this feeling attached to it. There's all this euphoria. There's all this transformational presence happening in that moment. You know, it's not like, this wasn't like some, you know, dry, uneventful act. You know, there's an encounter that left me thirsty. And it was that encounter. And I was the only one that in, you know, out of my mother and my husband, I was the only one that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They did not get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm the one that was making decisions from that point on to go to the church. You know, it took me a few times to figure it out, but I went after the church that hosted the presence. I went after things that hosted the presence, conferences that hosted the presence. It broke me my whole life, that encounter with the Holy Spirit. It left me thirsty.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love that. You know, and honestly, I believe, and you talk about this too, is do you want to follow the trend or the friend or your friend, and our friend being mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit? And I'm seeing for myself and agree with what you were writing in the book, that so many churches have basically put the Holy Spirit and Jesus in the basement, and then everything else goes. You know, and I'm like, what is going on? And it's because gravitated toward the trend, what's more popular, instead of my friend, the Holy Spirit, because that's where everything happens. That's where the miracles happen.
Right.
Oh, my exactly. gosh.
And it's really tough to watch. You know, renewal came to our church. Here at Harvest Church now, we just changed our name. But it came to our church August of 1999. And we're talking where the Holy Spirit literally falls in the service. And my husband, we were all wired that way, but we just couldn't get the people to connect to it with any sort of depth. And we were here a couple of years, and it was just dry as a bone. But we weren't dry. You know, we were pursuing. And the Holy Spirit fell in the service, August 1999, like where people are running to the altars, where previous Sunday, nobody came to the altar. You know, they're running to the altar, rushing the altars. People are falling out in the spirit. We didn't have any ushers or catchers or modesty cloths. I mean, it was just a mess. You know, but the thing was, when that broke out, it's kind of like you have to know how to pastor that. That was the hard part, was pastoring a church in renewal that last. And this is where people, you know, can lose that battle and let go of things, because you know, it gets there's warfare attached to it. There's people who fight against it. When the light, you know, of God, you know, the glory of God is light. When the light of God comes into your church, all of a sudden the sin that's always been there, all of a sudden you can see it. And you know, and so it's
right.
Discouraging. You know, but yeah, you have to be able to pastor people in renewal and hold on to that value no matter what's going on, because you know, everything flows from the Holy Spirit, and we get everything from Him. And so sometimes we want to go to the wisdom of man to fix our problems rather than go to the wisdom, the supernatural wisdom of the Spirit to fix the issue. And that's where I see a lot of pastors lose the battle, because it gets hard, and I understand it gets hard. You want to let go sometimes, or there's too much pressure from eldership, or those financial pressures, or different things come in, and you start resorting to the wisdom of man rather than to the Holy Spirit, where everything flows from. And so, you know, that's a lot of times what I see where churches who have experienced renewal start to lose that battle, is when the pressure gets too great, and you know, it that's where I see the breakdown, when they let go of that friendship and go to the trend to try and stay alive.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Can you hear me okay? I'm getting some some feedback here. Okay, awesome. Well, you know, you talk about the kabod, the glory. Is there a difference between the anointing for healing and experiencing the glory?
Oh, yeah, there is. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, He gives us gifts, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, and then some other places, you know, we see that the Holy Spirit will give you an ability, a supernatural ability, you know, to heal, prophesy, create miracles, those kind of things. You know, and so there's an anointing for it, and really the whole church body, you know, can really step into that. But when the glory comes, it's almost like a sovereign, you know, it's like an atmosphere. And it's the Holy Spirit's presence, but He will saturate an atmosphere so deeply that you don't have to strive for healing, for miracles, and miracles just seem to flow without you even trying and striving, even unusual miracles. And it's almost like your mind is transformed in the glory. Like what you wouldn't believe could happen an hour ago, now all of a sudden you totally got the faith for it. You know, and it's just there's a difference between the two. Where you know, I can actually pray for people by faith. I can see a measure of healing happen and take place. But once you step into the realm of glory, then I don't have to try at all. It just happens all over the room.
Oh gosh, that's awesome. And so what are some of the different manifestations of the glory from Scripture in our present day that you have been exposed to? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, we'll just start with some of the things we see in the Old Testament. You see the Shekinah glory, and you see the Kavod glory, and you know, pretty much it's like the cloud, the fire. Those kind of visual manifestations that they have a message behind them, simply that the Lord has come to dwell with us. It's really what the message is. And so people have seen it in different ways, such as, let's say there's a really hot church service going on. Some people will see fire on the building. I have a friend in Virginia when he was a young guy. People would actually call the fire department on his church. They thought the church was on fire, and it wasn't on fire. It was the fire of God,
church. I love that.
And it's just amazing, what you see happen. And then the whole cloud of glory, that used to be the presence of God, how he would lead the Israelites, again, with the message of the Shekinah glory being, I'm here to dwell with you. And, if people can capture that message when they encounter these kind of, aspects of glory, manifestations of glory. And, and what happens when that glory cloud comes, it does look like a cloud. It's not the fog machine. It's actually a real cloud, atmospheric cloud that will move around. It'll descend into a room, in the presence of worship, perhaps, or in the presence of corporate prayer, perhaps. And miracles begin to break out in that cloud. Certain types of miracles will take place. I actually never saw that cloud. I wrote the book and I talked about the cloud, but I had never. And I said this in the book. I had never seen this cloud. I have friends who've seen this cloud. After I wrote the book, I saw the cloud for the first time. one of our institutes. And this is where these healing miracles started breaking out. In the service, and I could see the cloud moving over the heads of people. And I made sure to shut those fog machines off, because we've got those fancy lights and they look good against the fog machines, but I made sure, for this institute, because it was a glory, or it was a Seers and Prophets Institute, but, I just knew the glory was going to show up. And so I shut down all those clouds, fog machines, because I want to make sure we made no mistake. And so I did see the cloud, and we had people, like the Lord is putting gold fillings in people's mouths. I had at least a dozen of those. That's just the strangest miracle ever. I've never seen that before. And Charlie Shamp, he called that miracle out, and he said, the Lord's putting gold in your teeth. He's filling your teeth with gold. And we looked at at least a dozen people's mouths that had gold fillings on the back wisdom teeth. And it was just so strange. And that's what happens in the cloud. And I'm just like, well, let's just take the limits off. Apparently God doesn't have any, and why should we?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know what? Because if you put Jesus in a box, I mean, the Lord, the Holy Spirit in a box, when you come back, it's all torn up. So why put him there? Just like
let it
go.
He's a creator. Yeah, he's a creator. And it's like, have you ever tried to tell an artist what he could and could not paint? I mean, I don't know why we try to tell God what he can and cannot do as far as that stuff is concerned. And so,
absolutely.
He does what he does.
Absolutely, and I love it. Oh, I'd rather have him just, do everything he wants to do. Lord, I'm ready. Just go.
Right.
Well, hey, I'm going to go to a short break real quick here because I'm getting some feedback. And, honey, if you would check your line.
Yeah.
And,
Jennifer,
if you could check yours too.
Yeah, honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah, people are writing in that there's interference. I think it's the speakerphone that maybe Jennifer. I'm not sure if you're on a speakerphone, but
okay. Let me take off my.
Okay, good. So while she's doing
that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
How does that sound for you? Okay.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really good. Really good.
Okay,
woo-hoo!
We'll do this with it.
Okay,
all right.
So I'll just do the just a little commercial here, and we'll come right back. Hallelujah. Come on
okay,
now.
Okay, sure.
Woo,
good.
Glory. Hallelujah.
We will be right back to It's Upfront in the Prophetic. If you love listening to our Upfront Prophetic radio programs, you can now listen to past archives online 24/7. Online, right from your computer, smartphone, iPad, or any other mobile device. Just log on to upfrontandtheprophetic.com.
Right, upfrontandtheprophetic.com. That's our new website, actually. It's almost done. But what I'd love for you all to do is head on over to YouTube to Upfront in the Prophetic. Click the subscribe tab there and hit the bell for the notifications. We're going to have Jennifer's show uploaded sometime this evening, and we're just going to blast it out there, also on Twitter as well. So, hey, we are talking to Jennifer Evaz. We're talking about glory carriers, how to host his presence every day. And I tell you what, Jennifer, you're so right. You know, Holy Ghost, have your way. Have your way. I mean,
Amen.
We're talking about the glory cloud and how the miracles were happening in the service when you just let him have your way. But not only that, there was a picture that I saw actually on Sid Roth's show. Yes, it was amazing. I only saw that one other time with our friend Johnny Taylor with the healing oil that came out of the Bible, and he was ministering.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I saw your picture, and I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. But that happens. How many times has that happened to you?
Well, that they documented was those two times, but I've had it – one testimony, we didn't document it, but I had it witnessed where I did just literally lit up like a Christmas tree in the church service. I think Sid Roth did a good reenactment of that. But, you know, and I wish I could just turn that on like a switch, you know, all on my own. I can't really tell you why it happens and why it doesn't happen. I have a few ideas, but I just know that, you know, when the glory of God comes on you like that, There is a radiance to it. You know, Moses shone with the light of God. We have biblical precedent with it, you know, and Stephen in the New Testament, his face shone like that too, right before he was martyred. But we have the biblical precedent for it, that it is possible that the Holy Spirit might come upon you like a light. You know, and I have a couple theories about it, but I just know that his light drives away darkness. And I think that's probably one prophetic word that he's communicating when someone lights up like that he is dealing with darkness in the room in some way, some dimension, you know, that you know, darkness is leaving. But it's also a real statement that God is just, you know, he is light. In him is no darkness at all. And, you know, people will light up in the glory like that. And I think there's going to be more sightings like that in the coming days. You know, I think, you know, what happened to me, I'm surprised they even caught it on camera, but, you know, what happened to me, I think there's going to be a lot of people lighting up like that, that this is just going to be a common thing for us.
Oh, my gosh, I so believe that. And what just popped in my head was like Hanukkah. You know, he's the light of the world, and
yeah.
we are the
yeah.
light, too. You know, he shines throughout us. So if we – I just got this. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Lord. As you lit up with the Holy Spirit, as we befriend the Holy Spirit, as he becomes our closest friend – that could you imagine all of us, I mean, just lighting up, walking down the street, and the glory is just so, his glory is just
yes.
so bright, and it shines through us. People are going to go, what in the world? You know? I mean,
Right.
Oh my gosh.
What a message.
I could see it. I know. Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it. Well, you know too, Jennifer, is that there's probably a lot of listeners too that are saying, okay, I'm so new to this. You know, we have a lot of new believers, those that are seasoned, those are
sure.
even ministers that pop
yeah.
on that say, hey, you know, is this for those that are, you know, ministers only, you know, it's the super, you know, saints, you know, the
yeah.
remnant, you know, of the remnant, you know, and, can I have this too, you know?
Right. Well, my whole point in writing the book was to let everybody know, you know, that this is for the ordinary person. I was just an ordinary person hungry for God, who had an experience with the Holy Spirit and was thirsty for a relationship with the Spirit of God. And that, you know, if we bring everything back to relationship rather than performance and comparison,
mm-hmm.
you know, that eliminates a lot of that kind of thinking, that this is about relationship. And when you have relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just, I have found that signs and wonders and the supernatural, they just happen. You don't strive for it. It's just a byproduct of the relationship you have with the Spirit of God. It's kind of like Peter, you know, when he'd walk down the street and his shadow would heal people, and he wasn't even trying. I can tell who he was with. I can tell that he had spent time with the Spirit of God just because he was radiating and saturated in his presence to a dimension that he didn't have to do anything. He just walked down the street and people were healed. And so I want to bring it back to relationship. But again, that's the struggle, because we want to have relationship with the Holy Spirit on our terms. You know, and he's like,
yeah.
he grabs hold of your heart, you know, and he deals with heart matters. You know, we want to check the boxes. We want to tick the boxes. I prayed today. I read my word today. I went to church this weekend, and he's like, I want to deal with your heart. I want to have connection with your heart. And because his glory is transformational, whenever you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you begin to transform. But again, you can't control what is going to transform in you and what's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's
sure.
usually where the battle is and where the struggle is. And it can be a wrestling match, even with the most willing vessel. It can really be a wrestling match, because, you know, we invite Jesus to be our personal Lord and Savior. And I want to circle that word in your mind right now, the word personal. He gets personal with you, very personal. And you know, he asks the questions that no human being would dare to ask you. You know what I'm saying? And he presents things to you that no one would present. He's a spirit of truth. And so that's the part where I see people back off, and they want to make it like a performance. Well, I just, you know, or they want to make it about faith and kind of covenantal language, which works to a certain point. But after that, it's got to be about relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, you had a point in your life too. It was a supernatural encounter that you had with the Holy Spirit, but you talk about like the dead hearts or the heart issues.
Yes.
You know, talk a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, again, I had invited the Holy Spirit in relationship, friendship, you know, years back. You know, I've been in this for a while now. And, you know, even in the most willing person, you never really know what's in your own heart, but God does, because everything is laid bare. And at the same time, he loves us tremendously. Everything he does is out of perfect love, you know, a love that many of us cannot fathom or even comprehend. And so that was how I would, you know, describe this situation, where I was ministering in Perth at Paradox Church. I was just doing a prayer conference. That's what it was. And I was on my way to Bangkok right after. And honestly, you know, you kind of in your mind compare Perth to Bangkok, and you think Bangkok's going to be with the warfare and Perth is not, right? You know, because you're on the beach and, you know, it's just, I don't know,
sure.
my mentality.
This is going to be a breeze.
I just had a ton of warfare connected to Perth more than anything. Worked through all of that, did this prayer conference. I was very satisfied with the conference. I mean, it was rough going in, but then the very last night of the conference, by then I was satisfied. You know, I was satisfied, and I was just sleeping good. And in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit, remember my friend, you know, our friend, you know, he picks me up out of the bed. You know, I kind of liken it to Ezekiel, but he didn't pull me up by the hair. But he pulled me out of bed, and he pulled me right up to his chest, just really my head to chest, you know. And when he did that, something from him, best way I could describe it, something from him dropped into my heart. And I was completely undone, like I have never been undone before. Now, you got to understand, I've had plenty of encounters with the Holy Spirit. I've been in the best meetings. I've had personal encounters. I've seen angels. I've seen heaven, all of that. This thing was off the charts. And it was so saturated with the love of God. It's like you can't even tap that on the earth. You know, you can't find that kind of love, even in the most best of circumstances. You can't find that on the earth. And so I was so undone. I was so saturated with his love. And then, but here was the problem. The problem was this, that my heart in that moment, it actually resuscitated, because I did not know. It's amazing how you don't know this. I did not know that half of my heart was dead. You know what I'm saying? It was dead. It was gone. Like, only half of me was working. I didn't even know it.
Wow.
And
wow.
Here's the reason. I'll tell you the reason. You know, life happens. Pain happens. Grief happens. A lot of stuff happens, especially in ministry. A lot of stuff happens. You know, and I can go on and on and on. We all got our sad stories. But the thing is, the way I handled it is I had shut down my own heart. I literally shut it down so I wouldn't feel pain. And it was a survival mechanism, but I had killed off my own heart. And let me tell you how dangerous that is, because the way you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are led from the heart. You know, it's like, you're like, we're supposed to see with the eyes of the heart. We discern the presence of the Lord from the heart. And what happens is if your heart starts dying off like that, you stop feeling, you stop caring, compassion starts to leave you, and you don't even notice it because you can't feel that you don't feel. That's why it's so dangerous. And so this is where love grows cold. And so the Holy Spirit just did a miracle resuscitation in me. But from that experience, well, first of all, I had to go through tons of personal counseling, start working through all the reasons why I shut my own heart down. I had to do that, go through deliverance. You know, everybody needs deliverance, including Christians. And so, you know, go through deliverance. And I had to work this thing through. I mean, it was like a huge transformation, but my heart did come back to life. I started to feel again. You know, some people don't even cry anymore, okay? And your tears are intercession, and you stop that's the stoppage of a key place of intercession. But the reason you don't cry is because you don't feel. You don't feel because your heart's shut down. Your heart's died. And what's happening is I believe the body, the Lord is waking up the heart again in the body of Christ, and he's resuscitating the heart. Because isn't that the challenge of the end times, that love will grow cold? This is what's going on. And so we have to be very, very diligent to keep our hearts hot. And you can tell if your heart is died because you don't feel. You'll walk by somebody who's hurting, and you won't feel a thing. There'll be no compassion coming to you. You know, you just don't care. And so that's a signal, big signal, that your heart has died, and you need a resurrection.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love your transparency, because, you know, we interview a lot of people, and, you know, to come out and say, hey, you know, I mean, here you are, a minister, you just got done ministering, and you realize that, oh my gosh, I need deliverance myself, you know, I need some counsel.
Yeah, right,
a hot mess, you know what I mean? And I absolutely love your transparency, and it's throughout your whole book. And again, for those that are out there and some just even popping on, we're speaking with Jennifer Evaz. We're talking about Glory Carriers, and you've got to get her book, JenniferEvaz.com, even on Facebook. But Amazon, buy the book for everyone you know, and I really mean it. And you know what? Buy it for your pastor as well, because some need to be reignited. Hallelujah. So I tell you, I believe that that statement was for everyone, you know, because the heart waxing cold, so many situations. I mean, look at the season we're in. Although we see gross darkness and whirlwinds, you know, of emotions and everything, there is the greater glory, and the harvest is amongst us, I tell you. we are in exciting times. And just like we said at the beginning, you know, more than ever is the Holy Spirit needed in this time. We've got to, tap in to that friendship, you know, that relationship with Him. And I know that already you are getting testimonies from those that have read the book. And I heard of one, Shirley Braviva, I think her name was, and I probably butchered her name. I mean, oh my gosh, is that amazing? Share about that. I mean, wow.
Well, she sends me this photo, and she says, I read your book, and then she sends me this photo, and there's literally oil pouring out of her hands. You know, like, you know, it was just amazing that I've seen a lot of photos with supposedly oily hands. You could barely even see the oil because it's a little hard to photograph. This one is pouring out, and she captured it she captured on photo. And then I'm hearing people experience, angelic stuff, you know, in connection with the book. They're experiencing encounters with the Holy Spirit and things like that. And the book is just awakening people to the power and the presence, the very, very real, tangible, right here, right now, encounter with the Spirit that we can all have. You know, he's not partial. You know, he's not picking and choosing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not only for the ministers, you know, it's not only for this one person or whatever. It's for all who ask.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive. You know?
Yeah. And I just want to encourage people that, you know, I talk about the difficulty of the process. And yes, this whole experience that I had with the heart resuscitation was a very, very difficult process. But would you believe I have seen more miracles of glory this past year than I have ever seen collectively? I'm talking deliverances, healings, miracles that are just crazy. I mean, it's just been crazy and off the charts. I've seen people get delivered from this spirit of heaviness, and we've seen it show up in their body. They lose weight instantly. I watched a girl melt in front of me over in Tampa just about 6 weeks ago. It was crazy what God is doing. This all came out of the journey of letting Him deal with my heart.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
yeah,
It's worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just letting go. And we hear this phrase all the time, let go and let God, you know, just let the Holy Spirit just move in your life, you know. And babe, I know I've been talking up a storm here like I usually do. I mean, what's been going through your mind? I know you had all these questions and just, I mean, we both devoured your book. I mean, it is awesome.
It really is. You get into, the different, like the Kabod and the Shekinah, Shekinah, and different definitions of what the glory is, and I like it so much. But what I was just thinking about was the ways and acts of God. There's a difference there, and when you're talking about the presence versus a relationship, you know, the presence may come for whether with us or without us, so to speak. God supernaturally comes down, but to actually and have that to where you know you get to know the Holy Spirit. You know when the Holy Spirit's present and when He's not. But you know, when you were talking about the oil earlier, where the oil comes through, the pressing in, the prayer. Like some of our meetings will have, oh my gosh, it will be packed out with prophets coming in. But if you call a prayer meeting, You know what I'm saying? A couple people show up. But those are usually the people God uses the greatest. But there is a difference between the ways and the acts of God, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure. I love how you were describing that. And I have found that in seeking relationship, again, bringing everything back to relationship, which naturally is the dialogue and it's the prayer life. And you know, a lot of people, again, they see prayer as a form or a formula or a check the box, and it's not relational building at all. And that's why they don't stay consistent. But the whole thing is, when you get to know Him, you get to know what He's doing, and you begin to get a sense of, you know, what He's about to do or what's happening, whether it's just through you as a person or if it's, you know, in the room that you're in, those kind of things. And then I've noticed, you know, it's really good teaching. I don't have a problem with the teaching. I think some people just kind of have taken it too far, that have heard the teaching and put a box around the Holy Spirit. But, you know, that He's a gentleman and you know, just almost like tiptoe around the Holy Spirit. He's real touchy or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I just know, I've known the Holy Spirit to be both very gentle as well as very fierce. And when He gets fierce like that, it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of don't get in the way of that. He's about ready to deliver somebody or do something. You know, He's about ready to go after something. And so I've learned His fierce side. You know, so He's not just gentle and touchy and, you know, tiptoe around Him. You know, we've got to embrace the Holy Spirit in His full personality. You know, and you don't know that unless you really spend time with Him. And so, you know, and that just takes time to learn.
Yeah, He's the Holy Spirit, the Holy.
Right.
You know, some people talk about the Spirit, but you need to understand that there's a reverential fear, a healthy fear of the Lord and who He is. He's not our buddy. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy God. But
right.
Yeah, you know, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There is a power that comes that people need.
Right.
Power from on high.
Right. Yeah, and there's no way you can walk in any supernatural power without having that connection with the Spirit of God. There's no way. And so this is where I want to encourage people to actually seek after that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's really, you know, it really was never about power for my own ego. I was frustrated that I couldn't see people free. That's what led me into all of this. It's like, I want to be effective in ministry because I don't like praying for people and not seeing them get what they're after. And, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of angles on that, and I understand it, you know, but I need to carry something. And I recognize it was relationship.
Yeah, that was the key to it all.
Right.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, and that's what they're going to get out of this book. They're going to enter into that intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And in that, there's signs, wonders, miracles, power, authority. I mean, it is, wow. He left us the comforter, you know, the encourager to guide us in all these things. And it seems like so many have forgotten Him. You know what I mean? It's you hear about Jesus, but you don't hear as much about the Holy Spirit. And that's who, you know, Jesus left for us. You know, it's like, again, let's put them in the basement with Jesus, you know, and just leave them there and we'll take care of it ourselves. Well, how has that gotten you anywhere, you know?
Yeah. How's that working for you?
Yeah, that totally having to work people through that you can talk to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not offended. Your Heavenly Father's not offended because they're all one and they're all rooting for each other, not competing.
Right. There's cooperation. They're all cooperating together.
Yeah.
Not competition.
He's the Spirit of Christ, you know, and just really trying to bridge that gap. That you can definitely talk to the Holy Spirit because, again, people approach the relationship with the Lord in a formula. You know, and again, you know, I think we need to really look to the Word and how to approach and do our due diligence. But at the same time, you know, they ask me questions like, well, do I talk to Jesus, Heavenly Father, or Holy Spirit? And I'm like, any of them. I said, they're all one.
Right.
But I think in the midst of that, yeah, we have neglected that the Holy Spirit is here on the earth with us. And I think you just mentioned that, but he's here on the earth with us. He's the one Jesus sent in his place that's just like him. And so, you know, we need to engage that. And you know, he's the one who birthed the church. He's the, you know, so now
amen.
He's going to continue birthing the kingdom through us. In the here and now.
That's so true. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he raised Jesus from the dead. How powerful is that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know,
as one guy was saying, we get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't forget the fire part.
Yes.
Right.
Come
right.
on now. I want
yeah.
that fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they've seen fire in your eyes when you've ministered.
Yeah, there's been some testimony on that.
Well, let me ask you, Jennifer, I mean, what is God saying to the body of Christ today? What is the message he wants to portray right now? Get out
the
there.
The message through me. I think there's more than one. But the message through me is that he wants you to be wholehearted. And because we're commanded to worship the Lord with all of our heart, to worship the Lord wholeheartedly. But because our hearts are dead or half dead, we can't worship him wholeheartedly. And so he wants to get into that area and that realm with us and do a resuscitation, do a reset, and really, you know, work that through with us so that we truly can be wholehearted in our devotion to him. And there's so many people, if I could just throw this in there, there's so many people that you have a big call from God on your life. Huge call from the Lord on your life. But what's interesting is that unless your heart is grown, you can't carry that call. There's a prayer that I pray out of Psalm 119:32 that the Lord would enlarge my heart so that I can obey him. I realize that I can't even obey the Lord unless my heart can carry obedience. And so I have to get him in that realm, in that area of my life, just so I can even obey him. And so this whole thing about our heart, this focus on the heart, this is what I believe, you know, I know there's other messages, but this is what I believe through me, that he is speaking to the body of Christ, that it's time to get your
heart
working
right.
again.
Mm, wow. Oh, that just resides with my spirit big time, big
yeah.
time.
Amen.
That's huge. Yeah, because he looks at the heart, you know?
Yeah.
And,
about the heart.
Amen. Yeah, because how can the Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing if those places, you know, are, like you said before, are dead, you know, and
right.
broken. So, wow, I love that. And prophetically, because you are very prophetic, what is the Lord showing you prophetically for our nation or even abroad?
Well, you know, I could say some different things about some different nations, but we'll just speak into the U.S. that we really need to continue in prayer for the nation. You know, intercession is not going out of style, but to have hope
yeah.
and to continue to have hope, mm. you know, really continue to have hope, and you know, it's like a hope a hope season. And a dream season. And so I see him awakening dreams that have been dormant, dreams that have, seems like they've been stolen. But the Lord's restoring dreams, and he's also restoring destinies that have been held captive. And that's a big point of freedom that I'm seeing him engage is the captive destiny, the captive purpose, the eternal what was created in eternity that needs to manifest on the earth through people. That is what he is aiming for. And he's bringing a whole new realm of deliverance, new keys of deliverance to bring that forth.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. that's the whole thing too, hope. You know, so many have lost hope, and and honestly, I mean, he has so much more that is going to manifest. I mean, the fullness of who he is, and, you know, the harvest. And I mean, we're walking into some great times. I mean, talk about signs, wonders, and miracles, you know, the greater is now. We're stepping into it. Hallelujah.
Right.
Wow. You know, that's right. Glory to glory. And I want to encourage everybody too to get your other books too, because if you're an intercessor out there, I tell you, and like Jennifer said, we definitely intercession has not faded out. It has increased. It is a lifestyle. And I'm telling you. So get her book, The Intercessor's Handbook. Seeing in the Supernatural is phenomenal too. And I tell you, this book, Glory Carriers, How to Host His Presence Every Day, is a must. It is a must. And talk about radically changing your life, stepping into the miraculous, having this friendship with him. It is yours. He's given it to you. All you have to do is ask and you shall receive. That's a promise from him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. So would you pray for those that are out there right now that, you know, just want more. Amen.
Okay. Well, let's do a couple things. First of all, if you recognize that your heart is dead, like you recognize like you're all over this thing. And I want you to put your heart right now. I'm going to pray over you. This anointing to resurrect the heart is very transferable. And I'm going to pray for you. And typically what happens, people start feeling heat in their heart. Their heart starts beating. There's different. They have, like, actual manifestations when I pray for them like this. And that's a sign that he's resurrecting you. You're going to have to do some work afterward, but you need to be resurrected. And then I'm going to pray for you to encounter his glory. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, I just invite you right now to just really begin to work in the heart of those that are listening right now, to bring resurrection to dead places, to deal with the stony places of their heart, to heal the broken places of their heart, and to raise their hearts back to life. Lord, you said dead hearts are coming back to life, and that love that's been cold is getting ignited and brought hot again. And so I pray for every person who's listening right now, who this is their story in this season of life. They need a heart resurrection. Let it be, Holy Spirit. Work powerfully in them. I pray for those who are listening to encounter your glory right now. Holy Spirit, fall upon them with your presence. Let there be signs and wonders. Let them become carriers of your manifest presence, your glory, like they never thought they'd carry before. Close the gaps in the relationship and bring forth the beauty of this tangible relationship that everyone can have who's a believer in Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, you're working powerfully right now. In Jesus' name.
Woo, glory be to God.
Amen.
Hey, and you know what?
Amen.
Tonight we have a bonus for those listening to the broadcast. We're going to give away a couple of the complimentary books from a Chosen. We thank Chosen for publishing this book. And so if you send us your name and your address and what you liked best about the broadcast tonight, we will get you that book. We only have a couple of them. So if you head on over to upfrontintheprophetic@gmail.com, again, give us your name, address, and what you like best about the broadcast, then we will go ahead and send you her newest release, Jennifer Uva's newest release, Glory Carriers, How to Host His Presence Every Day. Oh, my gosh, how powerful. Hey, babe, did you have anything else that you wanted to say, hon?
I just love the book. I know the listeners love the book the more you read it, because it's a book you need to get and underline and look up and give to somebody maybe who doesn't really understand the workings of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. There's a lot of people out there that just they're searching, and it would answer so many questions for them. So, yeah, get the book. I love the purity of the ministry. Get behind them, support them, her and her husband, and all they're doing. We just really appreciate you, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, you bet. Always a pleasure. Hey, and if you're in the California area in Turlock, California, head on over to Harvest Christian Center, and you'll be able to be in the glory. And again, get the book, you guys. It is a quick read, but I'm telling you, don't go quick. Just bite it. Just take a piece and bite every single page of it and just soak it in, because I'm telling you, your life will be radically changed. Well, everyone, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. Next week, next Tuesday, same time, we'll have Rachel Schaefer. She is actually the daughter of Tim Sheets, and she's going to talk about some miracles that have happened in her life as well. So, Jennifer, Yves, you're a blessing. Thank you for just being here with us.
Thank
and again,
you.
Everybody, head to our site and donate, okay? I'm telling you, this is awesome soil to donate some seed, hundreds, thousands. If you got the millions, do it. I am telling you, woo, the glory would be on it, that's for sure. So God bless you, everyone. Until next week. And, hey, I also want to mention, too, every Monday night, we have the National Prayer Call for America. Tap into that. If you want more information, just email us upfrontintheprophetic@gmail.com. All righty, everyone. I am signing off this time. God bless you, everyone. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.